الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد قال الله تعالى غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected Muslims, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sending peace, blessings, salutations upon our noble master Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every person, every individual, whether religious, irreligious, male or female, employed, unemployed, employee, employer, every single person on the surface of this earth is looking for what we call an opportunity. A person goes for a job interview, one of the first things or the last things they say is, give me one chance, I'll prove myself. Few weeks ago in England, in the United Kingdom, the English Premier League started. All those players that have signed with new clubs are wishing and begging their managers, give me a chance so I can show you what I am made of. In cricket, in the Ashes, England and Australia, there are a few new players who have been given a chance and made their test debuts. All they wish for was one chance, let me prove myself, give me an opportunity. The month of Ramadan came, the month of Ramadan left. Many of us may have felt when the crescent of Shawwal was sighted that I missed out and I lost out on this opportunity. Then the first days of Dhul Hijjah came, a person thought, I'll maximize. When the days of Dhul Hijjah ended, a person felt and he regretted and he was remorseful that I never maximized on this opportunity. Then the season of Hajj came and went. And a person may think that there was a day of Arafah. There were all these days where the rahmah and the mercy of Allah was descending and I missed out and I got left out. Every single person is desirous of an opportunity. And the Hajj season has now concluded. Most of the Hujjaj have returned. Many of us here may have gone for Hajj. Many of us may not have gone for Hajj. But it is impossible. It is impossible that such an amal like Hajj, Allah deprives the ummah from the reward of Hajj. So today, inshallah, very briefly, because the reality of the matter is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with his companions and he tells them, oh my beloved companions, you will never ever enter Jannah through your actions. So the Sahaba, they're shocked, they're confused, they're perplexed. Oh Messenger of Allah, we exert ourselves, we do so much ibadah, so much raka'at of nawafil and so much fasting. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked the questions by the Sahaba, wala anta ya Rasulullah, oh Messenger of Allah, is it possible that you also won't enter Jannah based off your actions? So Rasulullah says, even I won't enter Jannah through my actions, illa an yataghammadani Allahu bi rahmatih, except that Allah doesn't cover me and envelop me with His rahmah and His mercy. Every single one of us is looking for an opportunity to acquire the rahmah and the mercy of Allah. We are all in need of this rahmah. Rasulullah, he has some captives, they come back from an expedition. He sees that the captives are taken care of. Him and his Sahaba are standing and they see a lady running from pillar to post, mother to mother, child to child. This lady picks up the child, she looks at the child, she places the child down. She runs to the next child, she lifts the child, nadarat ilayha, looks at the child, places the child down. She's running from mother to mother, pillar to post, child to child. She picks up the child, drops the child. The Sahaba and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are witnessing the entire scene. After a while, she picks up a child, she recognizes the child, she embraces and hugs the child and brings the child close to her chest. Rasulullah was a teacher for the entire ummah. He gathers his companions and he tells his companions, did you just witness what I witnessed? Did you just see what I saw? So they say, yes, O Messenger of Allah. Then Rasulullah asks them a question, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ, that, O my beloved companions, a mother who possesses such love, compassion, affection for her child, is it possible that this mother would throw her child into the fire? But the Sahaba, they say, O Messenger of Allah, a mother who has such love and compassion and affection for a child. She was running from pillar to post, child to child, mother to mother. It's impossible that such a mother would throw her child into the fire. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he tells his companions, and he emphasizes their focus on the rahmah and the mercy of Allah, and he tells them, oh my beloved companions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَرْحَمْ, You think the mother is merciful? Every one of us experienced the love and compassion and affection our mothers displayed towards us. Every one of us has a soft spot for our mothers. He says, "Inna Allah Ta'ala arham." Oh my companions, oh my ummah, understand, Allah is more merciful with his ummah, min hadhihi biwaladiha, than this woman is to her child. Every one of us needs rahmah. Every one of us is begging Allah, oh Allah, give me an opportunity. Go home with three ahadith today, which will be a start for us to start acquiring the rahmah and the mercy of Allah. Because we don't know, will we be blessed to go to Hajj or not? Next year, many of us may have plans, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Will we live till then? Will we get to experience this amazing journey of Hajj? Possibly not. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith of Tirmidhi, Anas radiallahu anhu, is the narrator, he says, "Man salla salatas subhi fi jama'ah." That whoever performs Salatul Fajr with jama'ah in the masjid, whoever performs Salatul Fajr with jama'ah in the masjid, ثم قعد يذكر الله, thereafter he stays seated in his place making dhikr of Allah, and then when the sun rises he performs two rak'at, rak'atayn. This person, after the sun rises, when he performs these two rak'at, Allah will give him the reward of an accepted Hajj and Umrah. Allah will give a person just for performing two rak'at. Many of us may not go for Hajj, but you get the reward of an accepted Hajj. Perform your Salatul Fajr in the masjid. This is a direct sign of the mercy of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions the narration, and take a moment to ponder. It's a hadith Qudsi, the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Close your eyes and ponder over this narration. Every one of us here, myself, yourself, we are all sinful. We all have weaknesses, we all have deficiencies. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, hadith of Qudsi, Allah says, "Yabna Adam, O child of Adam, O son of Adam, O daughter of Adam." Every single one of us is being addressed in this hadith. "Innaka ma da'awtani wa rajawtani ghafartu laka ala ma kana fik wa la ubali." You never ever called out to me, O son of Adam. O son of Adam, O daughter of Adam, you never ever had hope in my mercy. If you did call out to me, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, I would have forgiven you, وَلَا أُبَالِي, a loose translation, and I don't care what you may have done. غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Then someone may think, I have done too many sins. يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبُكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ. O child of Adam, O son of Adam, if your sins were to cover the entire horizon, ثُمَّ دَعَوْتَنِي, and then you called out to me, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, I would have forgiven you, وَلَا أُبَالِي, and I don't care. يَا بَنَ آدَمْ, if you still feel the rahmah of Allah is not enough for me, I have done too much haram. يَا بَنَ آدَمْ, لَوْ أَنَّكَ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا. If you come on the day of Qiyamah and you have an entire earth full of sin, an entire earth full of disobedience, an entire earth full of haram, ثُمَّ لَقِيْتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا, and then you come on the day of Qiyamah and you haven't committed shirk, you haven't attributed partners to me, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً, I will bring you an entire earth full of my rahmah and my mercy and my forgiveness. Every one of us needs to seize the opportunity. Every one of us needs the rahmah of Allah. The last person to enter Jannah, the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, he will be in Jahannam. He will be facing the punishment of Jahannam. And then he'll call out to Allah and he'll say, "Oh Allah, everywhere around me is people of kufr and disbelief. And they're mocking me and they're making jokes about me. That your iman never helped you and you are still in the fire like us. Oh Allah, I beg you, just take me out of Jahannam, facing Jahannam." Then Allah will take a moment and Allah will reply to this individual, that promise me if I give you what you have asked for, you won't ask for anything else. So he says, "Oh Allah, I promise, just one request, take me out of Jahannam." So Allah will take him out of Jahannam and make him face Jahannam. A synopsis of the hadith. When he is facing Jahannam, he will stay quiet for a moment of time. And after that certain time, once again he will ask Allah. Take the example, when we were younger and we were studying in school and we were 7 years old, 8 years old, I would go to my dad and I would tell my dad, "Papa, mane 5 pound apuni please. Dad, give me 5 pound. And he'll say, "Okay, I'll give it to you, but kale ni puchwanu, kale metane ni hapa." So I say, "No problem, just give me the pound, let me worry about today. Kale no fikar me kale kara, give it to me today." So he would give me the £5. The next day I would say, but Abba Mane, can you bear pound upon you please? Can you don't pound upon you please? He said, I told you not to ask. Why are you asking? But then he'll give it to me. Why? Allah will say to this individual, once he has taken him out of Jahannam, the individual will say, oh Allah, but you, can you just face me towards Jannah? Oh Allah, the fire is still here. Just please, oh Allah. Allah will say to him, I told you not to ask. You promised you won't ask me anything. He'll say, but Allah, just please, I won't ask you anything after this. Allah will make him take a promise and an oath. Promise me you won't. Oh Allah, I won't ask you for anything. Please, just towards Jannah. Allah will turn this man and face him towards Jannah. Then he'll stay quiet for a moment of time. And then after that, after a while, he will once again ask Allah, oh Allah, but can you just take me to the door of Jannah? Oh Allah, please, just by the door. What's the rahmah of Allah? The rahmah of Allah is something we cannot understand and comprehend. Sometimes shaitan may make me feel like, you know what, you've done such a sin, it's impossible for Allah to forgive you. We have to always understand that the rahmah of Allah is far greater than any sin we can ever commit. Allah will take this individual and put him at the door of Jannah. And after a while he will stay quiet and say, oh Allah, just one more request. Can you just put me inside Jannah, please? Oh Allah, just inside, please. And say, but you said, you promised you're not going to ask me anything. Oh Allah, please, just inside, please. Allah, out of his rahmah and his mercy, will say to him, okay, I will grant you entrance into Jannah. But that moment he has a question. You know, imagine you have a dawah and you have a party and you have a wedding and there's a 500 people party, everyone is there and you come late. As you step foot into that hall, your first concern is, Mekabeha, Jagani male, Badda pilleti awigla, everyone's been here for so, where am I going to sit? I'm going to walk in, everyone's seated, everyone's eating food, I'm going to feel uncomfortable, should I go this way, can I navigate that way, where can I find a place to sit? So he'll say, oh Allah, but everyone is already in Jannah, what's left for me? Such is the rahmah of Allah. The last individual to enter Jannah will be told, your Jannah is 10 times the size of the heavens and the earth. 10 times. Why? This is the rahmah of Allah. Every one of us needs an opportunity. The first hadith performed Salatul Fajr in Jama'ah. After Salatul Fajr, like for the elder people in England, we see that this is generally the retirement package of every elder. They'll sit in the masjid till the sun will rise. The younger people have got school, college, work, whatever it may be. Some people choose to retire in front of the TV, others choose to retire in the house of Allah. Sun will rise, they'll perform the 2 raka'at, then recite some Quran, and they'll go home, being given and rewarded with an accepted Hajj and Umrah. The second hadith, hadith of Abu Dawood, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. He says, "Man tatahhara fi baytihi," whoever done wudu at home. Listen to the words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever done his wudu at home and then he comes to the masjid ila salatin maktuba to perform a fard salah. Sometimes we may feel that, you know what, at home I don't have the ideal facility to make wudu. I have to lift my leg and put it in the sink, then I have to take it out, then the mat's going to get wet and then my wife's going to shout at me, you made a mess in the bathroom. So you know what, let me just go to the masjid and I'll do wudu and I'll sit nice and comfortably, I'll have a conversation with someone to my right, someone to my left, and then I'll come and perform my salah. The hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever does wudu at home, and then you come to the masjid, then you take those steps to the masjid, you will not leave this masjid. فَأَجْرُهُ كَأَجْرِ الْحَاجِ الْمُحْرِمِ. O Ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may never go in Hajj, I may never go in Hajj, but why should we deprive ourselves of the reward of Hajj? Rasulullah said, whoever comes to the masjid in the state of wudu, he performs a fard salah with the imam before he exits from that door. Today every single one of us came into the masjid. A good percentage of us may have had wudu with us. We come in before we leave that door when Salatul Jumu'ah is done. We leave with the reward of a Hajj who had an accepted Hajj. What more do you and I want to ask for? This is rahmah. This is mercy. This is that blessing of Allah. And the third hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is an amazing narration. We've got Black Friday coming up. We've got, in England, we have the Boxing Day, then we have the Christmas Day, then we have the New Year's Day sales. Recently in Orlando, there was a certain shoe that was going on for sale. And it was limited. So about 3 days before the item went into the store, people were camping outside the store to purchase the item. 3 days before they were camping, they were doing tabligh and jamaat outside. They had their camp, they had their bed, they had their tent, and they were waiting. Why? Why would someone sleep in a tent outside the mall for 3 days? Because if I buy that shoe for 500, I can sell it for 5,000. Allahu Akbar. And we Indians, Gujaratis, we know our business. There's no way. How can I go? I have to sleep outside. Sleep outside. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and listen to this narration, take it onto your heart and implement it in your life. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, hadith of Tirmidhi, whoever does tasbih of Allah 100 times in the morning and 100 times at night. How long does it take us to say subhanallah 100 times? Probably less than a minute. Especially when it will be done in 30 seconds. Subhanallah 100 times in the morning, 100 times at night. Tasbih. Tirmidhi, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah has mentioned one of the Salafus Salihin, every single day he would make tasbih of Allah 100,000 times. They weren't people that had free time. They weren't people that were sitting doing nothing the whole day. But brother, I have work. I've got a business to run. I have to be at work from 9 to 7. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, he was the judge of the entire Muslim kingdom. Every single day he would have time for 250 raka'at of nafil salah. But I'm too busy, brother. If you really want to acquire that mercy that we've been talking about, if you really want to seize that opportunity that Allah has given, you will make time. You will understand the value. Whoever does tasbih of Allah 100 times in the morning, 100 times at night. What does it mean to make tasbih? How did Allah refer to tasbih in the Quran? سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That every single thing in this dunya is in the remembrance of Allah. Ma in Arabic doesn't only mean insan and living things. Things that وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Every single creation of Allah is in the remembrance of Allah, is in the glorification of Allah, is in the tasbih of Allah. But oh insan, you can't understand and comprehend and digest and absorb the tasbih of the tree. You can't understand and comprehend and digest and absorb the tasbih of the sand in the desert. But oh insan, how is it possible? You are ashraful makhluqat. You are the greatest of creation. But yet you have forgotten Allah. No time to make 100 tasbihs in the morning. Rasulullah said, whoever performs and recites tasbih 100 times in the morning and 100 times at night, he acquires the reward of 100 hajj. 100 hajj, my brothers and sisters. How can we lose out on this? If someone can sleep outside a store for 3 days, for one shoe, for one bag, whether that be Louis Vuitton, Supreme, Yeezys, whatever it may be, a person can stand outside. When you tell the brother, we're going to go sleep 3 days in the masjid. It's hard, man. I can't sleep on the floor. It's cold. I need my bed. But when it came to the shoe, 500, 5,000, that's 100. Tell me to sleep 10 days and I will be ready. This is the reality. My dear respected Muslims, 100 times tasbih in the morning, 100 times tasbih at night. Allah will give you the reward of 100 hajj. And the mercy of Allah is too vast for us to explain in 20 minutes. Take time out. Understand the rahmah. Understand the blessings, the mercy of my Creator upon me. The fact that I can see is a rahmah from Allah. The fact that I can hear is a rahmah from Allah. Sometimes we may feel that I have done too many sins. Allah can't forgive me for the haram I have done. If you have sincerity in your heart and you understand the rahmah of Allah, Allah will definitely forgive you. There was a youngster in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu in his khilafah. He's walking at night. Umar radiallahu anhu is also walking at night, and they come and they bump and they cross paths. So Umar radiallahu anhu sees that this youngster has a utensil in his upper garment. So Umar radiallahu anhu asks this youngster, that what is it that you are hiding in your upper garment? So he says, it was alcohol that he had. But he says, oh Umar, I have vinegar with me. So Umar radiallahu anhu, everyone knows the jalal of Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu says, take it out, let me see. Let me see what you have got and what you are hiding and concealing in your upper garment. So at that moment, that youngster makes a dua to Allah. He says, oh Allah, don't disgrace me, embarrass me, humiliate me in front of Umar. La ashrabul khamra abada. Oh Allah, I will never intoxicate myself ever again. He understood the rahmah. He understood the forgiveness of Allah. And as he takes out this utensil to show Umar radiallahu anhu, that same utensil which a moment ago was full of alcohol is now full of vinegar. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has mentioned the narration. Why? Because he understood, he focused. لَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةُ وَلَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ وَلَيْتَكَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. Oh Allah, you become mine and let me become yours. That's the bottom line. And we end with this narration. Ruh al-Ma'ani has mentioned it, Allama Alusi rahimahullah. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is traveling. And as he is traveling, he passes by a graveyard and a certain specific grave. And wahi and Allah informs Isa that the dweller of this grave is being punished. There are angels of torment and punishment at this grave. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam continues his journey. As he is returning, he sees that these angels, and he's informed that the angels of punishment and torment are gone, and now they are angels of rahmah and mercy. So he asks Allah that, oh Allah, when I was leaving and when I was going, there was angels of punishment. What happened that on my return there are no angels of mercy? So Allah replies to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and he tells him, oh Isa, this man who was being punished was a very evil person. He spent his days and his nights in my disobedience. So due to his actions, he was being punished. But today his young child went and sat in front of a teacher and learned how to declare Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. O Isa, my mercy couldn't tolerate the fact that this man's child is attesting to my mercy whilst I continue to punish him. So I took the angels of punishment and I replaced them with angels of mercy. We just have to look for opportunities. Seize the moment. Capture the moment. Understand that the rahmah and the mercy of Allah is too vast for me to miss out. And if I miss out, just come to the masjid and perform 2 rak'at in the morning. Come to the masjid in the state of wudu. And every morning, every night, just say subhanallah. Or any glorification, you know, 100 times in the morning, 100 times at night. And you will leave, or you will sleep that night with a reward of more than 100 hajj. We make dua to Allah that He allow us to understand the magnitude of His rahmah. Because till we don't understand it and we don't comprehend it and we don't digest it, to understand it really, truly will become very difficult. We make dua to Allah that He allow us, even if we don't go physically for hajj, we come on the day of Qiyamah and we see numerous hajj on our scales on the day of Qiyamah. We make dua to Allah that He never ever deprive us of His mercy. And one last opportunity, the month of Muharram has started. The month of Muharram has started. A month which we fast in due to the rahmah of Allah also. When Rasulullah came, what, 1 minute? When Rasulullah came to Medina al Munawwara and he saw that the Jews were fasting, they said, it's because this was the day Allah had such rahmah on us, He granted us salvation from Fir'aun, so we fast. Similarly, my dear respected Muslims, fast the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and 11th, Allah will forgive you for an entire year's sins that you have committed and I have committed. This is rahmah. This is grabbing the opportunity. But when the 8th comes and someone reminds us, I've got work in the morning, how can I fast, brother? 10th, it's too hard, man. Ramadan is done. What are you talking to me about fasting? Opportunities. Grab it, hold on to it, and understand the rahmah of Allah is something I have to acquire. I don't want to be like that person who was given a chance, he was given an opportunity to prove himself and he failed. What face will we show to Allah on the day of Qiyamah? We make dua to Allah that He grants us understanding. Subhanallah,
you can keep it. Generally allow time for people to pray sunnah so you can tell them that.
Inshallah, whoever hasn't prayed sunnah, inshallah. Just like